This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Business in Heels podcast, the podcast that inspires and educates women in business globally to succeed. Now over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
This is another episode of the Business in Heels podcast. So my guest today says, without your health or your well-being, you cannot enjoy time with people or do the things that you love and what matters most to you in your life. Totally agree. And joining me on today's show is Deborah Fairful. Now, Deborah, she is a serial entrepreneur now on her third startup with two successful prior exits. She is driven by the capacity to synchronize the mind, body, and spirit, and firmly believes that people have the ability to live a life of freedom beyond stress, beyond worry, and beyond struggle. Deborah has a true passion for personal growth, combined with education, technology, and the power of community. And as a result of this, she founded Bliss Spot, an online platform that curates the world's best well-being for personalized health and wellness for individuals, for teams, and workplace well-being, and businesses who want to purposefully profit whilst also serving their clients and their community. Now, on today's show, Deborah is going to share how well-being is essential to the ongoing productivity and profitability of businesses. She's going to talk about why poor well-being is not the new norm. And she's going to talk a little bit about Bliss Spot, a world of well-being that is accessible and affordable to all. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
And we're delighted that you are here sharing more about this particular topic because, as we probably know, over the last 2 years, we have heard anything but health. Well, health, but a lot of people getting sick and there's a lot of confusion and a lot of stress and anxiety because of the uncertainty and the lockdowns and all of that. So, such an important topic. We know our well-being, how we're feeling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, can impact us physically and vice versa. So tell us, how well-being is essential to the ongoing productivity and profitability of businesses? So key, isn't it?
It's so key. And I think with the pandemic, obviously we are being forced to look at our well-being because people are really getting to the point they just can't go on in a healthy and productive way unless they start to practice self-care and really optimizing their well-being to really get through these difficult and tough times. We're all forced to be more resilient and to really know what's happening to us. So we're not, I think when we're tired and we're overwhelmed and we're feeling more stressed, that's when we're more likely to be reactive, say things we don't mean, and then we have to backpedal and sort all those things out. And at the end of the day, we all want to be the person we want to be because inside we all have this desire to be happy and healthy, and that's not for no good reason. That's because it's our natural state. It's like this voice inside of us is calling us home to that natural, happy and healthy state, which actually resides in all of us deep down.
Yes. But totally agree. Something else too, and I want to pick up on what you've just said, and that is that for many of us, And there's a saying, isn't it, when your feet are put to the fire, which is, you know, quite a terrible analogy to use, but in other words, you know, if there were underlying health issues that we may have been able to kind of ignore because of the additional pressures we find ourselves in, whatever that may be for us, and every individual is different. So what might be a stress environment for some, like lockdowns and no social engagement, for me was bliss, because I love being on my own, you know, and silenced. I have enough voices in my head to keep me occupied for the next, you know, 100 years and ideas and everything. I often joke about that, but it's true, isn't it? And so now we've come face to face with dealing with, okay, well, if I wasn't getting enough sleep, and if I'm not eating the right foods or having enough water or getting enough exercise, all of these things added is going to compound. And as you said, we're faced with this. What are some of the things that you're now saying, obviously, to your clients, because you've been entrenched in this industry for quite some time? You might want to share a little bit about your background as well, because it's not just a business you started, you know, over the last number of years. You've been entrenched in the health and wellness industry for quite some time. Share a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, well, health and well-being has always just been a natural passion of mine since I was in my first business when I was 24, which was quite some time ago now. But I think I used to just work night and day. I was very driven, and a lot of people are very driven. And I think within about 2 years, I got glandular fever, so I got very sick. So I realized that I couldn't sustain and be the person I wanted to be when I was sick, because when I had glandular fever, I was flat out on my back for 3 weeks. I couldn't do a single thing with my business. Everybody else just had to carry on without me. That was sort of initially like torture, but it was a massive wake-up call. I needed to look after myself. Somebody wisely said once, don't be so tired that you can't do what you love. You can't do the work you love. You can't be, you know, with the people that you love in the way that you would like. Yet so many of us, myself included, you know, will push ourselves, well, particularly for me in the olden days, to beyond healthy points where I was burnt out and overwhelmed. So I learned that first through nutrition, that was a good gateway for me. I really needed to eat healthily, be very mindful of what I was eating. I enjoy eating healthy food, but I really had to step it up during that period. And then I guess from there, my journey went on to more the structural. You know, I had a few hip problems, and I realized by going to a chiropractor that I need to start to take care of the structure of my body, as well as what I was feeding it. But then that journey led me more to the emotional, where I started to learn about my thoughts, how they related to my emotions, my reactions, my behavior, more mindfulness. I'm actually a meditation teacher now as well. So I realized it's that great big package. For me, it wasn't just nutrition, but that was what got me on the path, because I got sick and I was forced to, really, because I wanted to do well with my business. And this has been an ongoing evolution over 30 years and studying lots of different philosophies and teachers and formal academic training in psychology and HR, counselling, lots of different things, kinesiology. But I guess what I've realised, it is definitely possible to keep yourself in a healthy, happy state when you know the skills. And we've been going for, we were started Blissbot well before the pandemic. So before then, I knew the importance of what we were doing with offering wellbeing support for team members and business owners who particularly can get quite stressed and overwhelmed. However, back in those days, prior to the pandemic, people really thought it was a bit light and fluffy, like, oh, yeah, that's just sort of a nice extra. And people used to think of it as well as like having nice baths and massages and things like that, whereas really true well-being is a lot more than that. True well-being is really feeling empowered. It's about living the life that you absolutely love, that makes you inspired to get up every day, that you're in a job, it's a really good fit for you. So often we just keep, you know, trying and trying to do something, but it's just not, there's nothing wrong with us and there's nothing wrong with the business. It's just not a good fit. So really knowing your values and getting aligned with what your true skills and talents are, because everybody has incredible skills and talents when they're aware of them and when they align to them. It's actually being responding to situations. It's not reacting. And I'm not saying it's about being a perfect person, because we all, myself included, will react sometimes, get tired sometimes. I'm not saying that, but it just is an overall package. Just as we would aspire to get fit, you know, we're happy to train our muscles over and over again to have got that body or that level of fitness that we desire or we've achieved our goal. So is true with self-mastery. People are calling it self-investment these days. It's possible to move towards, over time, being more of yourself. It's more like, it's not trying to get somewhere. It's more of an unfolding and a sort of a letting go and sort of relaxing back into your natural state of wellness and happiness. So it's a big area in itself. And that's
absolutely. And I think sometimes what we forget to remember, or maybe we just, I don't know, some people may not be aware of it, but, you know, since you've said you've been studying this for many, many years and have experienced it, we know that if the body will show us signs.
I love it, yes.
That may mean. And I'm the same with you, had a little, you know, back pain and that go on, didn't stretch, didn't do all of the things I knew was important, sat for hours on hours on end in my desk, and then happened to sneeze and bend the wrong way, and then my back goes out and, you know, we're flat on our back for a week thinking, and it's the worst place to be, I know, if you are lying down flat on your back, not able to do anything for yourself, let alone not be able to work. It's terrible. But your body will tell, your body will take control if you won't it?
That's my formal training as a kinesiologist is all about that. So your body will give you signs. Like if you're sort of slightly stressed, you can't find your keys, you might be doing a bit too much, something like that's like a stage one stress. But if you ignore that and you start to get panic attacks and you're getting these regular and you just don't do anything about it. You think, oh, they'll pass, they'll get better, it's everyone else's fault. If you blame, that sort of takes you out of your true sense of empowerment, where you can really make a change and difference because you're the person that has the power to do that. But if you take notice of your panic attacks, start to look at how you're feeling inside, start to see if it's relevant to particular situations, like do some self-inquiry, you can make the positive changes or go and get the professional help or read up more about panic attacks. But if you decide to make the changes, the education and support is absolutely there for you. But if, say, you ignored the panic attacks, the body will amp it up. It's like Oprah says, first I think you get like a little pebble and then a stone and then a brick and then a giant rock falls on you.
There's an avalanche coming your way.
That's so right. True. So if you're ignoring your body and all those beautiful signals it gives you every day, that's why creating some spaces and some stillness and being able to tune into what's really, really going on for you without all the noise and the external situation is so important. You might get to the point where you've got a physical disease. So, you know, that's, and it can even be an autoimmune disease, the serious disease like arthritis or cancer or really bad migraine. So your body's really amping up the pressure for you to look and learn, because your body really is your best friend. It wants you to be well and happy, but all we have to do is listen and then take the necessary actions and get that support. And everything in life is so easy to fix when it's small. And I'm not saying if you get up to one of those more difficult diseases, which I did. I had to go through that journey myself. I had to learn to listen myself. So these things can often be gifts in strange wrapping paper. So I'm not saying it in a judgmental or a critical way at all, because I believe as humans we all do the best that we can with the skills that we have at the time. But if we can learn to address things when they're small, they're so easy to fix. You can say, oh, what's going on for me really? And you can fix it before it even gets into a physical issue. And
yes, absolutely. Yeah. The body is an incredible organ, isn't it? Amazing. It's been designed, created to heal itself, provided that you give it the right environment. I was just talking about it to someone that I know that's quite close to me who now has type 2 diabetes, and they're going on, yep, it's genetic. I said, yeah, no, it's genetic, which means you have the predisposition to become diabetic if you've providing your body with the wrong foods that it can't cope. Yet you can reverse that if, again, you start making different decisions. And so that's wonderful when we know that, hey, we have full control over what time we go to bed, how many glasses of water we drink, or whatever it is that's for us. You know, some people do really well with only a small number of hours of sleep, whereas for others, if we don't get, you know, 7 or 8 or whatever, we really find it difficult to function. But what's interesting, I'd love you to speak a little bit more about this, is that, you know, for you it was overwork and then you got fatigued, which then, you know, I think you said you got glandular fever. And so you've obviously gone through the process of healing. Talk a little bit about time, because I know as entrepreneurs, particularly and individuals, we're often impatient and we want to see something now, we want to see it overnight. And if it's not overnight, we either gravitate toward the quick and easy fixes, which often don't have the best long-lasting results. But take us through a little bit of that time aspect, because I think that's important once we recognize that our health is so important. Take the time to build the right foundations and the body will love you back.
Exactly. And often it doesn't take that much. It can be the small, consistent things that give you that edge. You know, it's the things that we do regularly, like making those small, healthy choices between the chocolate bar or the apple. And it's what, not saying you can't have a chocolate bar, of course, for a treat every now and then, but it's the consistent habits that we integrate. And it's also being kind and patient to ourselves. So often we'll have our goals, our well-being goals, or personal goals, career goals, and then we'll be frustrated with ourselves because we think, oh, we're not as far as we would have thought we would have been by right now. But a helpful thing is to look back and see how far you've come, because often you'll think, oh, well, actually a year ago, I've actually really advanced a lot. So it's being kind to yourself and giving yourself that pat on the back. And it's a well-known fact that people often overestimate what they can do in the year. So they'll really set all these big goals, but then they'll underestimate what they can do in 3 years. So I think everything is like an evolution. Like an acorn is not a beautiful big tree in a day. You know, those trees that really take your breath away are often 60 years old or 100 years old, and they've taken time to really grow into themselves. And I think so too with our well-being and our personal development. It takes time to learn skills and practice. So often you won't even be aware that you've got the problem. So that's when you're unconsciously unskilled. So then you might get a bit of feedback at work like, oh, do you know that you interrupt in meetings? You talk over people in meetings. By the way, that's so easy to do on Zoom. So I'm not saying that as a criticism either, but this is just an example. And the person, oh, I just thought I was, you know, adding my bit. They mightn't have even realized. So they might go, oh, okay, all right, that's not very nice for the person. I get that. So I'm going to try not to interrupt during meetings. And then they'll slip up because it's a new thing. But then that's that self-reflective loop. And then the next time you might nail it, you might get it right. You waited till the person finished and then you say your piece. And then after you practice that a few times, it's what you become, what we called unconsciously skilled, where you're doing that new behavior without even thinking about it, like when you're driving a car. So too with well-being, if you have a pattern of reacting, like say you've got a pattern of thinking, you might have a problem with, I don't know, let's say in a personal relationship, we'll go with that one. So in a personal relationship, you might think that all men abandon me. That might be just a pattern. Then you realize it's a pattern. It's not actually a fact that there are lots of lovely men out there that don't abandon you. And then after a while, that's all you see because you're changing your pattern, but it might not be an overnight thing. It might take a bit of trial and error of learning to trust and then maybe pulling back again and then learning, oh, no, it's actually okay. So being kind to yourself and also particularly to each other and your coworkers, if they're trying new skills, I think it's good to really support people in that, because if people are trying to transform their well-being or their personal patterns or behaviors, that's to be really commended. And that's the best we can do every day, is to develop that awareness and grow in our consciousness and try different things, so we're not so much struggling or battling with reactivity or the things that will hold self-sabotage, you know, things that can really hold us back, that we're actually stepping in more to that empowered person that is wise, is confident, We sort of more trust the process of life, even though we mightn't understand it at the moment. As you know, particularly with the pandemic, we don't really know what any particular year is going to be like. I remember at beginning of 2020, my husband and I thought, wow, this is going to be a fabulous year. It just had such a good feeling to it. And then everything was so different to what we imagined. And I know last year, 2021, that was such a different year, and we don't know what's going to happen now in 2022. We can have faith, but all we can know is that we can develop that resilience. We can know that we are strong and we're wise and we will get through it. Anything that we don't know, we can learn, we can get the support, we can get the help. And it's really about our perspective that really supports our well-being at the end of the day.
Absolutely, because where your perspective is and expectations, I think, often would rise. And what you see, and I love the example that you gave around the patterns that we so often look at and look for. And I remember years ago when I was going through various coaching modality learnings and trainings, we were often taught as, you know, whatever your beliefs are, those things you hold to be true, you will search for evidence to prove your beliefs are true. So in the case that you gave, whereas as someone is relearning, let's say, and transforming their relationships, if you're only going to look out for the indicators or signs to say, see, I got abandoned again, you forget about the time where someone did open the door or did think about you and reach out to you. Your focus is very much wholly and solely on what wasn't working. So I love that you've really encouraged us to look for that. Something else that I know that you want to talk about, and I'd love for you to share a little bit more about the importance to this. And you say that poor well-being is not the new norm. How often, when we've got a headache or a neck ache or whatever, we reach for that, whatever it is, some form of medicine or whatever, duller or whatever, dampener, whereas we're saying, what is the cause of that headache? Do I need to drink more water? Do you need to get a massage? Speak a little bit about that. Is that because we're starting to think that this unhealthiness or poor well-being is just part of the course of life?
Well, probably there's been periods of time too, even probably still now, where people wear stress like a badge of honor.
Yes.
Like,
I'm so busy.
And whilst I'm an entrepreneur too, so I'm not taking away from that, I am super busy. I've got always a lot on, but it's all things I choose to do and I love to do. And so I think as if it's aligned with my values, that makes a very big difference. But we do have to be careful. I think stress can be mixed up with challenges. Like, life can be challenging, and you don't want that to be a limiting belief either. But some, just practically speaking, big things can happen, like the pandemic. We didn't expect that, or that we all have to go and get needles, or that we, you know, we have to isolate and be away from our loved ones. They're things that truly are actually just beyond our control. So I think we as human beings have great capacity to deal with challenging situations. We are strong, but it does sort of take some training too with our mind and learning to perhaps think of things differently rather than catastrophizing things or mental looping things, because they don't help. Like, those things are going to happen anyway. So it's about how we react to that situation. And one of the best things I've ever heard is choosing the situation. This is a very big leap, and it took me a long time to get my head around, but choosing the situation, seeing the situation as if you chose it yourself. So it's really accepting things, and that's very different from condoning bad behavior. I'm not talking about that, or getting yourself into very unhealthy or toxic situations. I'm not talking about that. This is completely different. But choosing things if you chose them to happen themselves, or seeing it as if you thought it was going to happen yourself. For me, that really just changes things up totally. And then I find myself thinking, oh, what have I got out of this? Or what's the lesson that I've learned? And it really, really changes things, because when you think all these bad things are happening to you and you're pushing against it and you're resisting, it creates so much stress and pain in your body and suffering, actually. So if you can go, well, I wished I had have got that promotion at work, but I didn't. And if you can sort of not be resentful or bitter about that, which really doesn't help you, you might have a period of grieving or acknowledging your natural emotions of disappointment, because that's healthy too. But once you've let those pass, go, well, you know, how can I see that this, if I had have decided to do that myself, you'll, other things happen. I can guarantee it. Like, there might be another promotion that you'll get 3 months later down the track, which is far better, or another situation will come along. But when we're resisting and fighting the things that happen in life, or seeing stress as just normal or something we have to put up with, or poor health or bad relationships, we are making the decision to enable or prolong that situation. Whereas if we can see it in a different way and kind of let it go, and then we start to tap into the support and the help or the things that get us back into the flow again, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. And I think as you're sharing that, it reminds me of situations where, you know, something will happen, and if we continue to look at the disappointment, and I just recorded on another podcast that I host a topic around the fact that, look, disappointments do happen. Failure happens. You know, I don't believe in failure. It's feedback, and I'm sure you know that too. But whatever didn't happen the way that we wanted it to, there is that disappointment. And I love the way you said, okay, look at that and be curious around that, but don't dwell. And that's what I share. Don't dwell. Don't get stuck in that disappointment, because what you'll find is, and what you said earlier, it ties back to this, is that if you do, then your focus is going to continue to be on what didn't work and what wasn't fair and what isn't. And then that is going to predispose the other things that you continue to attract around you to it, isn't it? And it's almost like, you know, like attracts like. And if you're constantly in a state of poor well-being or poor, where your mind is focused on the time, guess all the time, that's kind of what you're going to continue to attract with you as well. And sometimes it can be, as you said, just a change. I think your emotional state, you can change like that. You know, it's just that if someone tells you a joke, like we often do that, we'll change state with our kids. We're just about to see them all of a sudden cry because they've kind of knocked themselves, and we distract them and we make them laugh. And your emotion can change just like that. Health may take a little bit longer, but we often don't recognize, and I think this is what you were saying earlier, Deborah, is we do have more control and strength than we ever give ourselves credit for.
That's true. And I think I love it that you've brought up the topic of emotions, because that's one of my favorite topics, is emotional mastery. And I think we're often afraid of emotions. And that relates back to something you were saying before too. We reach for the wine, or, you know, we don't want to feel it. We don't want to feel the disappointment. And as you say, emotions can change really quickly. But conversely, to do that, often we have to lean into them. It's a little bit different to what we probably instinctively want to do. But if we feel disappointed at work, if we go, okay, well, I've been working for 2 years for that promotion and I didn't get it, and I really put everything into the interviews and everything, you feel disappointed. That's your natural emotion. But you don't want the disappointment to be running the show 3 months later, or you want to feel it. Lean, just give yourself some quiet time at home, you know, just sitting quietly or out in nature. Just feel into that disappointment, and your emotions don't own you. You are much bigger and stronger than your emotions. They're designed to flow through our energetic system. And one of our coaches, Tony Farquhar, was saying that emotions can only, sometimes they'll be like 2.5 minutes. They will flow through your system if you just really lean into it and let it go. And I think what we're realizing with workplace wellbeing, which you were asking me about, but there's so much to talk about. We could talk about this all day, I'm sure. But with workplace well-being, I think people are realizing now, particularly when they're under so much pressure and stress and dealing with remote working and hybrid working and all the different things that are happening, that people bring their whole self to work, you know. So rightly so, if they're having a particularly difficult time financially or emotionally or with their children or whatever the many, many, many stresses that have been exacerbated over the last 2 years, that is going to impact work. And I think people at work are taking more responsibility now But I also feel very compassionate for workplaces too, because managers and leaders are not necessarily counselors and psychologists. Like, that's a very special field, but they genuinely do care about their team members and business owners. I speak to them. They are so caring of their team and so worried about what they're facing. You know, global teams now, lots of people have had lost relatives due to COVID, so they're isolated. Some of them can't go to the funeral, like really big life events or milestones that they're not able to work through in a normal way. And so obviously in the workplace, people care about them, but they don't have the skills to support them at the level that they need. And I think that's why people now, businesses, small businesses, larger businesses, are stepping up and offering workplace wellbeing, because they realize that just they have a social responsibility. The International Standards Organization have put out a new standard for psychological safety at work, saying, not saying that it's mandatory, but it's highly recommended that companies put something in place for their team and staff to get through this time and to support them psychologically, mentally and emotionally in the best way that they can. And hopefully, you know, at the other side of all this, people will be more resilient. Like, the most popular course on our site is the one on resilience, understandably. Stronger, they'll feel, have a better sense of themselves. They're, I guess, maybe sadly, but some of the, that this had to happen to get to this, but the gifts in strange wrapping paper that, you know, people cannot control the world around them, but they can control themselves and their so journey important. And how they get through it. Yeah,
that's so important. And, you know, I'm so glad to hear that organizations and leaders are concerned and looking for support for them, but also, you know, and one of the things that I wanted to share, you know, so often if we don't feel equipped to help someone, I don't know, sometimes what I do is I just go, I'm just not going to bring it up because I don't want to put my foot in it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hurt that person or cause something to cause that person to be hurt even further. So sometimes what we do is we don't just talk about it, but then to the other person, it comes across, well, they don't care about me because they haven't brought it up. Whereas it's not that at all. It's because we don't want to talk about it because we don't feel equipped. But I love how, you know, leaders, what they can do. And I'm going to ask you to share a little bit more about BlissSpot and how leaders and organizations can find out more. If we are, as leaders in business, managers and so forth, if we can recognize some of the signs that, you know, in our teams, individuals as teams, that if something is going on, that we can quietly and confidently pull someone aside and introduce them to the different resources that may be available, because we never know, we may be that lifeline for that person and be the conduit between putting them together with a resource or a support person that is going to help that person through. So share a little bit more about BlissSpot and how organizations can get in contact with you.
Yeah, there's so many amazing points that you just brought up there that I could expand upon. So I'll just try to pick a few.
Yes.
I guess the thing is, with wellbeing, it's a very personal thing. With your job, it's a very important thing because, you know, these days, with so much instability, particularly in small business and people being retrenched or being put off or those sorts of things. So when you're reaching out about your wellbeing, you're being very vulnerable because you're saying something's just not working quite right for me, or I'm really struggling. And obviously some environments are such a safe place that is totally accepted and supported. But often people are tentative to do that because they think, well, I don't want to lose my job either because I love my job and my job's really important to me. So wellbeing is a very important, it's a very personal thing. So I think what's happening now with the clients that we're dealing with, people want to offer, obviously it's got to be affordable, but a wellbeing solution for every single person in the company that's totally personal and private. And it's just their resource to come and go as they need be. Of course, they could reach out, you know, to their team leaders or managers if they want extra support. But the company is saying, this is the support for you. Lots of companies even say, If you want to look at a video or something for an hour in work time, that's fine too, because we care about you so much. We want you to be well and happy. We're happy to even put the time behind it. But that's a very personal thing, because wellbeing can be done in lunchtime or at the end of the day as well. It's very flexible. But I think now there's a tendency to wanting to just offer that support, not get too involved. Managers might want an overall snapshot of how their company is going, but it is inappropriate that they know individually kind of how each person's going. That's why it's good with telehealth, you know, which we do offer on BlissBot. People can book into a leading psychologist, a doctor in psychology, counselor, psychotherapist, or a coach, so they can get that one-on-one personal service. So they're not really expecting the leader or the manager to be a psychologist, because, as you say, people don't know what to say. And it is like, if somebody was grieving, if they'd lost a loved one, they actually probably do want you to say something, but it's all in the way you say it. So it's, and even if you've got that wellbeing support and say people are doing some one-on-one grief counselling through the telehealth service, and they're saying, confiding in that counselor saying, look, I feel really alone at work and I'd like a little bit more support and I'd like people to ask me, the counselor would probably tell them how to ask people to ask them, if that makes sense. So, you know, they're getting that support. And the other thing with wellbeing is it's so, well, this builds on that, so personal, because I might be not sleeping well. Another person could be having trouble with their teenager. Somebody else might be wanting to learn mindfulness. It's so individual. So at BlissBot, we offer different pathways across the eight pillars of well-being, which are fitness, nutrition, emotional mastery, mindfulness. I won't go into all of them, but they're comprehensive and in-depth. We offer support in terms of, we've got over 1,000 blogs on the site, so people can just read a blog on sleep. And if they think, oh, yeah, really? I'll just try that one tip tonight. Let's just start small. I'll just try that one thing. And then if they find, oh, that really did help, they can then access that author's sleep course, which might be a comprehensive 6-module, not too big. We don't make things too long, but maybe 15 to 20 minutes each for a module. So it might take an investment of 3 hours all up in how to sleep better. And if they found that really good, but they really want to fine tune it or nail it, they might book in for some one-on-one sessions, which they might then pay for out of their own pocket, or often companies might want to pay for it as well. It just depends on the arrangement. So people can go as deep with really tailored one-on-one support, or as little, or sort of the mid-range where they access videos, podcasts, meditations in their own time and in their own way, at their own pace. So, and it caters for all different learning styles, auditory, kinesthetic, or visual, just depending on where you're at, because we're all individuals. And to cover off with that, do we have such a range of global experts? So they've usually become at the top of their tree in whatever their area of expertise is. So it might be self-love, sleep, resilience, confidence, women's empowerment. We're really big on that, and we're really excited about an offering we're doing with Business in Heels. Oh, talk about that when you think it's appropriate, Anne-Marie, but we're doing a lovely offer to promote women's empowerment during the month of March. So I think that's going to be announced soon by Business in Heels, where BlissBot's doing a special offer to support people.
And I love the way that there is just so many resources there, because as individuals, we're complex. There is no one size fits all for, you know, everybody, because we all have different needs. As you said, there's different learning styles, because some people like to listen, some people like to watch, some people like to, you know, the kinesthetic, they like to learn and do, because that kind of solidifies the learning. So it sounds like you cater to a lot of different needs and a lot of different modalities and support, because we're complex beings and there's no such thing as one size fits all. Share a little bit more before we go with the special offer that you're doing with Business in Heels around confidence, I think you said.
It's confidence. We've got two of Australia's leading confidence women experts who are actually met through Business in Heels, so that's very special, Jody Bruce-Clark and Anastasia Adams. They have a business together called Rise women, and they're also BlissBot experts. So they've got a whole series, beautiful body of work, a course on confidence for women in the workplace. So it's really good if you've been out of work for a while and then you want to get back into work. I was like that. I'd been at home with my children for, you know, 10 or 15 years, which was incredible. I was working part-time on the side, but that was an amazing experience. But when I had to step back into the workforce, I had lost a lot of my confidence. So that is so important. And then we've got another beautiful women's empowerment expert, Anne McEwen. She's got a beautiful story of her own and how she was very high up in corporate and then she brought up her children for a long period of time. And she's got an amazing journey, but she now lectures and supports people about women's empowerment. So they're a masterclass that we're going to have in March, and then on the back of that, from International Women's Day, we're going to be doing this special offer where Business in Heels and BlissBot are joining together to get access from everything with Business in Heels or their membership offering, and then also to BlissBot. So it's a kind of a very comprehensive support package for women, which we're really proud of and extremely excited about.
Oh, that's so exciting, so exciting. Mm-hmm. And so to find out more about BlissBot, it's blissbot.com.au, isn't it, Deborah?
It's actually blissbot.com. I'll just put it in the chat if that's helpful, the link for anybody. But yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Let me go and bring this up here as well. We'll put a little, let's do this, and then people can see that too. But all the offerings, I mean, it sounds absolutely fantastic. And it sounds as well that people, no matter where they're located, I mean, obviously you and Business in Heels is in Australia. However, it sounds as if organisations, if they would like to take advantage and offer something like that for their team, or whether individual team members would like to access these trainings, they can from wherever they are in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Yeah. Oh, there we go. BlissBot.com will get you there. And no doubt when the Business in Heels and BlissBot partners for those special offerings and masterclasses, they'll be announced there too. But we announced it here first. I'm assuming we're announcing it here first on the Business
in Heels. Absolutely. Hot off the press. Totally hot today. Off the press.
That's very exciting. So if you want to find out more, you know exactly where to go to get in the know with that. Well, thank you so much, Deborah, for coming on the show, talking about such an important topic because, and I love the way that you've said, and I'm going to end with this, without your health and well-being, you cannot enjoy time with the people and the things that you love and what matters most to you in life. So it is vital. And you've shared a lot of insights today that will help us on our journey to health and well-being. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here.